Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
Back at it again with the white kids. Back at it again. Damn, Daniel, you've listened to our podcast again. Wonderful. It's a show where we talk about things we really are into. And I've gone ahead and dang spoiled. I'm talking about Damn Daniel, ain't I?
Is it Vans or Keds?
Is it Keds or Vans?
I think it's Vans, right?
Okay, yeah, I think it is. Who's got Keds then? What's the Keds meme? I think that grape stomp lady, she was wearing Keds. That's why I got it mixed up.
Okay.
Memes are so freaking funny sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Peanut Butter Baby, forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
I see Peanut Butter Baby, though, sometimes, and it makes me sad because I think about the parent and grown-up that has to clean all that up.
Yes, I bet that would really clog your drain if you're not careful.
And your baby's beautiful pores. We all have a good laugh at Peanut Butter Baby, but it's kind of terrible what's happened to the child, you know? And also, like, I wanted to eat some of that, you freaking baby.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
We didn't even consider the waste of it.
I mean, I did.
And what if one of his friends has a nut allergy? You've basically given yourself like this like poisonous chitin baby.
Yeah, you got to wash him a bunch of times.
You got to wash him, yeah, or you probably can't send him to daycare if it's a nut-free environment.
Uh-huh.
Peanut Butter Baby is the greatest criminal of our time.
Oh, a little burglar.
But he's a little, yeah.
A little mask Scamp, on.
A little gif taker. Hey, do you have any small wonders?
I do.
Okay.
Sour cream.
Yeah.
Just, I love it. I just love it so much.
Loves that shit.
I put it on chili, put it on a baked potato.
Oh, yeah. You slaughtered a baked potato.
Yeah.
Just smothered it. Oh, taco salad, though.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You put it in like a sweet bread or like a cake to like give it that rich, richness.
For sure.
Done that before.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a long time to get behind sour cream. Can I give sour cream one note? The name sucks. The name sucks.
That's true.
This is rotten beef. It's beef that's gone rotten. And you can eat it with your taco salad.
Yeah, like yogurt. Yogurt is, I think, similar in some ways. But that's like its own thing. Sour cream is like it should really be called like schlooper.
Well, that's not good either, babe.
Okay, Gloop.
I mean, an onomatopoetic option is always very exciting for me.
Yeah, I'd like three tacos. And can I get gloop on the side?
I want guac and gloop. My small wonder is, of course, Animal Crossing New Horizons announced today at E3. Bumped the date back a bit. It was supposed to come out in 2019. Now it's coming out March 2020. Mm-hmm. And that means 9 months. And that's a fucking long time.
See, I didn't know it'd been bumped.
Oh, yeah.
You must be so excited to hear another one is coming. But you have been waiting, I guess.
Right. They announced it, I think, at a surprise announcement at the end of last E3. But it was just like Tom Nook. And he was like, what's up, motherfuckers? It's me. And everybody's like, whoa, 2019 is going to happen. And then nothing for like an entire year.
And who is Tom?
He is the raccoon who he will sell you a house. And he's like, come on, move into my house. And you're like, cool. And you move in, you get all your stuff. And he's like, you owe me $50,000. So you have to get $50,000
to pay him. Wait, they all have names?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there's Tom Nook. There's Gracie, the fashion giraffe.
Who's that alligator?
God, Rachel despises that very sexy alligator.
I saw that alligator flirting with my husband.
You have talked about this alligator. This alligator is like your main target of rage that our listeners know about.
Listen, Griffin works from home, so I don't necessarily have to worry about any workplace romance.
It's true, except for this one alligator.
Except for that alligator.
Yeah. It's cool, man. You got like a little island and you can build whatever you want, wherever you want. You could build a bench and just like set it on the beach. How chill is that? It's going to be so chill. It's got two players. You can play with me and we'll just like run around and build a beautiful home together.
I was excited because the little video I saw had a nice clothesline in it. And I always appreciate a clothesline.
Love that.
There's nothing more chill than a clothesline.
Hey, who goes first this week?
I have no idea.
I got all thrown off because the episode we missed when we all got such bad diarrhea.
Yeah.
It really threw me for a real glorp. But I go first this week.
Okay, good.
My first thing this week is table tennis. The small tennis that you play on a table. Some people call it ping pong.
Yeah.
But I'm going to call it table. No, I'm going to switch between them at will just to make this as confusing. It's the same thing. There's not a difference between table tennis and ping pong.
See, now I'm all hung up on like if it's a regional thing or if it's like Scotch tape and then it's answer branded.
That. It, oh, is. Good, yeah, good, it is. Yeah, okay, you spelled it, but it is branded.
Okay.
Ping pong is like a trademarked name of what table tennis can be.
Ooh.
And it is also onomatopoetic. How fantastic. Mm. What a good word that is.
I know.
Like, I get where poetic sort of gets in there at the end, but what? But then, like, the person who made the word was like, what if we open up with, like, ada-bada-bada-bada-bada? So, when I was younger, we would go over to my Aunt Brenda's house from time to time. She lived in Ironton, and a bunch of other family lived there, too, but we go over there for Thanksgiving.
What up, Brenda?
Brenda, and Thanksgiving, like, the minor holiday. We'd go over there for, like, 4th of July sometimes. And that was fun because we loved our family. We still do. And, the food was always good and they had a pool, a hot tub and a ping pong table.
Whoa,
in the basement. So
a
we
pool
would,
and a hot tub?
Pool, hot tub, ping pong table.
Whew.
So righteous. And it was really fun there. And we would go over there and play. And I was never very good because like we weren't going there frequently enough for me to really practice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then in high school, our gym class was so wildly unregimented. And it was very Montessori, like just explore the space and like chase what excites you. And what excited me was the ping pong table that they had in the storage room. And so there was a circuit of kids in my class that we would just play ping pong.
I'm picturing like a bouncer, like Sean being like, hey, Griffin, your turn's up.
I mean, yeah, kind of. We had only the one table, so we would, we would have to share it. And usually it would be a sort of winner gets to stay situation. But I played it constantly, right? Like with the years where I had gym class, like I was just always playing ping pong. And so I started to get like kind of good at it. And I was thinking back on that because here in Austin, they will have some outdoor ping pong tables at like hip bars, although those are, in my experience, largely unplayable due to environmental factors and also the fact that you're at a bar. And so if a ball gets lost, like I don't want to go chase it under a bunch of people's legs. But it's great. It's like, what I like about it, I think I always did kind of like tennis. I played it a few times when I was younger because we grew up next to a tennis court, but gosh, there was so much running. And that's what ping pong is somebody was like, tennis is great, but can we make it smaller so you don't have to run? And I think so. I think that's how we got racquetball as well, which I've never played, but always looks really fun.
It does look fun.
So the feel of a ping pong paddle. I want everybody to just like close your eyes and imagine holding a ping pong paddle.
Yeah.
You know how like somebody will hold like a weapon of some sort and they're like they feel powerful because of that, which is messed up. I feel that about a ping pong paddle because of just the weight of it feels good. The rubber, whether it's like bumpy or smooth, that feels good. And you just like can't pick one up and hold a ball in your other hand and not just like instinctively try to start bouncing it. Like it just it feels so good.
It's like the exact right size. Like
it's
it
perfect.
Seems like physics must have gone into designing the exact right size and shape of that thing.
Did you know that the size of the ping pong ball has changed? Very recently, there's like a table tennis, I saw this online, I didn't take a note about it, but like the table tennis governing organization that like manages the world circuit or whatever, wanted to make it more exciting for TV. So they like reduced the number of points that you needed to score to win. And then they changed the padding on the paddle, like the regulation paddle, so that the ball would travel faster. And they also changed the size of the ball from, I think, 38 millimeters to 40 millimeters. So it would be a little bit easier to track on TV.
This reminds me of when they were trying to popularize hockey.
Yeah.
And they put that little blue light.
Yes.
You remember that little blue light over the puck?
Did John Boyce do a thing about it? I remember I watched like a sports documentary online about it. And I think his are the only sports documentaries I watch online.
I just remember this thing of like, oh, well, people are having trouble following the puck. So let's just put this little blue light on it on their television screen. And it didn't
work.
But
the technology that went into that was apparently like the wildest technological innovation. Like a lot of sort of like lazy games that I am into, ping pong started as started in Victorian England as an upper class parlor game. And I imagine it didn't get as intense with the, top spins and the, yeah, you know, diving around corners that you'll see at like the pro level. So British military officers in India in the 1860s or 1870s, they brought the game back with them. But like back then they didn't have like rules necessarily. There wasn't like a regular, there wasn't a governing body for the ping pong circuit. So a lot of the time they would just play on a big table with a row of books lined up as the net. And they would, you know, use a golf ball or whatever, because the exact sort of little hollow plastic ball hadn't necessarily been invented yet.
Is the scoring like tennis?
No, I don't. Yes.
Because I realized that I don't think I've ever learned the rules to ping pong. It was just kind of like you played until you didn't feel like playing anymore.
Well, yeah, you do P-I-N-G to decide who goes first, who serves first.
Oh, okay.
And then...
See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, and then I believe it's... I think you can only score on your serve or when you... No, you can score whenever. But every 5 points, the server changes. That's how we always played it in high school.
See, I did have a ping pong table, but this isn't going to be another sad only child story.
Oh, man.
And that I didn't get to play very often because it was just me.
Well, that didn't stop Forrest Gump, did it?
You know, that's true. I never even thought about pushing it against the table.
J. Jacques and Son Limited was a British like manufacturer, and in 1901 they trademarked the name ping pong, but it was sort of called that like pretty widely before they had the trademark. And despite the fact that they had a trademark, because people were using the name ping pong to describe the game, other manufacturers were just like using it willy nilly without like caring about it much. And then Parker Brothers bought the rights to the name Ping Pong shortly thereafter for use in the United States. But like again, like people just called this fucking game Ping Pong, right? And so everybody else was selling their thing as Ping Pong. And then in 1920, they started like suing everybody.
Wow.
So that theirs could only be called Ping Pong. And that's where the name table tennis came from. So table tennis is actually the less common. It's not like it started as table tennis and then began like became Ping Pong. It was actually the other way around, which I thought was interesting. Anyway, Ping Pong's great. It's the focus of the best scenes in Friday Night Lights. And one day I hope we have one in our garage.
Oh.
And just like, yes, I can share special moments with my son in there. So
yeah.
What's your first thing?
My first thing is Buc-ee's.
Buc-ee's. Yes. Can I tell you something?
Yes.
I snuck into the kitchen and ate a bunch of Buc-ee nugs today while you were home.
While I was home?
While you were home. Yeah. You had gotten home. I had gotten Henry home.
What was I doing?
From, you were hanging out with Henry and I walked in the kitchen to get something. And then I thought, a little snack roll would sound pretty good right now. So I dug around in the snack roll drawer and there's a big bag of Buc-ee nugs. And so I dipped into those and I just, once you pop, you cannot stop with the Buc-ee nugs. Oh my God, talk about Buc-ee's.
So every once in a while I'll sit in preparation for the show and I'll think about things that are regional or local that other people in the country might not know about that I could bring to the show to kind of welcome others to our world.
Yes.
And like number one on that list is Buc-ee's.
Has to be Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's is a thing where if you live in Texas, you know what it is and you love it because it's not like a small thing, but it's just in Texas.
Yes. So there's like 40 nationwide, and when I say nationwide, I mean Texas, Alabama, and Florida, and like 36 of them are in Texas.
Right.
But it is a chain of convenience stores and gas stations, and its headquarters is in Lake Jackson, Texas. It opened in 1982.
We gotta get there. We gotta make the fucking pilgrimage at some point.
It's owned by Arch Beaver Alpin III.
What?
Uh-huh. Well, that's just like his nickname.
Oh,
it's a
okay.
Quote.
You've got to put the quotes in there, babe, because you made me think that a man is running around there called Beaver.
I mean, leave it to Beaver. That's probably a nickname too, huh?
And also a fictional show.
And Don Wasek. Applin.
The Beav.
The Beav formed the name Buc-ee's by combining his childhood nickname, the name of his Labrador, Buck, as well as the appeal of upon a toothpaste animated mascot, Bucky the Beaver.
So you didn't really combine shit. You just stole this toothpaste mascot.
Yeah, I guess. And this was, I looked this up. This was like a toothpaste thing in the 50s. that I'm not familiar with, but apparently there was a toothbrush mascot.
Okay.
Toothpaste mascot.
I mean, they got prominent teeth, I guess. Bucky's, by the way, is spelled B-U-C-C-E-E-S.
B-U-C hyphen E-E apostrophe S.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry, everybody. I put one too many C's in there.
It's okay. So, the one we know very well opened in 2012. It's the largest travel center in the world.
Whoa. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. I should have assumed that is true because it's so... I feel like you haven't explained what Bucky's like.
I said it's a convenience store and gas station.
Oh, but it's so much... It's... guys, hey guys, it's so... It's the size of a fucking IKEA. It's so big.
It's 68,000 square feet.
It's so big.
The store has 120 fueling stations, 83 toilets, 31 cash registers,
toilets!
And 80 fountain drink dispensers. You could fit 22 average size 7-Elevens inside, or two average size Whole Foods. Or if you think about a Walmart neighborhood store, they are 40% smaller than this Bucky's.
This Bucky's is so dope. It has everything. It has everything.
They have private labeled beef jerky, novelty candy, trail mixes, granola, pralines, jarred vegetables, preserves, and salsa, and a popular brand and product, which is a caramel and butter glazed corn puff known as Beaver Nuggets.
Or Bucky Nuggets.
Or Bucky Nuggets.
Or Bucky Nugs, if you will. These things are so freaking good. Imagine the cereal corn pops, only like covered in an even crunchier, like candy, not candy coating, but like caramel coating. It is so good, Bucky.
They're very
Nugs.
Good. You'll eat like one or two and you'll think like, I don't see what the fuss is about. And then you will have eaten 37 in 1 minute.
They have like the same way like kind of Cracker Barrel does it, where they will have like their own branded candy of every imaginable stripe. Like they will have, you know, their own special lemon drops, their own special, like all of that stuff. They make a pecan roll that is a pecan log, I should say, that's like a marshmallow sort of a log covered
it's
in like
nougat-y.
Sweet candy pecans with nougat. Oh my God, that's really good.
Yeah. So they have their own deli counter. You can get hot foods. They have their own fudge counter in the store. And there was an article in Business Insider about Bucky's, and they called it the experience of going to Bucky's is like wandering into a mix of a Walmart, a barbecue-centric deli, and the Texas Tourism Bureau, plus a dash of the Cracker Barrel General Store.
It's unbelievably good.
They have like home decor.
Yeah.
They have a lot of like t-shirts with Bucky on the front.
Yes.
You can buy towels since the New Braunfels one is close to the river where a lot of people float. And so you can buy like flip-flops and swimsuits. And
it's also close to Commander Schlitterbahn. Well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The hottest, coolest time in Texas. Listen, living in Texas can be exhausting sometimes because of some of the things we got going on here. But man, you stop at Bucky's while you're on your way to Schlitterbahn and you are fucking living the best life.
Yeah.
Man, it makes me
angry. I will also say that they take care of their employees pretty well. They advertise in every store the wages of their employees, and it starts at $13 to $15 an hour. You get 3 weeks paid time off, overtime, and a 401k.
Hey, all right, Bucky's.
At Bucky's.
Yeah, it ain't bad. Yeah.
So Bucky's is tremendously popular in Texas, and they've had to very carefully guard their brand. In 2014, they filed a lawsuit against another convenience store called Frio Beaver. Their logo also depicted a beaver in a yellow circle with a black outline.
No.
In 2016, they went after another Texas convenience store called Choke Canyon Barbecue, which uses a logo of a grinning alligator in the middle of a yellow circle.
Well, that one seems a little...
Yeah, if you put an animal in a circle, you're in trouble. So let me tell you about what's new in Bucky's.
Oh, shit. Is there new stuff at Bucky's?
In late 2018, Bucky's announced a deal with Tush Lights to put indicator lights in bathrooms to alert which stalls are occupied.
My dog!
This is going to start in Katy and Temple, Texas.
And bring it to the New Braunfels one as fast as possible.
They won an award in 2012 for how clean their restrooms were.
So clean.
Just incredible.
If you're driving in Texas, you see one of these things, pull over. I don't care if you just got gas.
So apparently not all of the Buc-ee's are, there's a very small Buc-ee's in Brazoria, Texas, that only has 6 fueling stations. But the one in New Braunfels, 120.
Wow.
83 toilets.
Wow. I will say, love Buc-ee's.
Yes.
Holds a very special place in my heart.
Yes.
One time I got some sugar-free gummy bears from there while we were on our way to WrestleMania. And I just...
Griffin.
What?
You cannot blame that on Buc-ee's. You ate too many.
I ate some sugar-free gummy bears on my way to WrestleMania. I pooped out a couple vertebrae. It was so bad. It was so bad. It was the worst. And I'm saying, I know, it's on me. Yes. I shouldn't have eaten the candies that made me poop out the spine. I get it. It's on me, but they shouldn't be selling that poison.
Or they should sell them in packages of 4.
Packages of 4 discreet gummy bears. Mm-hmm. And also, the way they have on cigarettes, like, if you're pregnant, this will fuck you clean up, dog. I promise. We need those on these sugar-free gummy bears. And they need to be written specifically to me.
Why did you get sugar-free gummy bears?
Because I'm trying to watch my glucose levels. But they didn't know. It's not worth it, those few points off my glucose, if it means I'm going to miss the first couple matches because I'm in the toilet screaming Buc-ee's name.
So that's Buc-ee's, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Can I steal you away?
Yes.
Nice.
You want to hear a personal message?
Yes.
This one is for Mitchell. It is from Sarah. Hey, best pal, we're finally married. Hooray. I hope our first few days/weeks as married grown-up people have been, well, wonderful. I love you so very much, and I'm super excited to start the next chapter of our lives together in Pittsburgh, Iowa. Location TBD.
Pittsburgh is not in Iowa. I'll stop you right there.
Thanks for being my DM, best friend, and now legally my life buddy forever. Love, Egg.
That is so sweet.
That's very sweet.
It is really good. Egg is a great little pet name. And Pittsburgh is not in Iowa. I know that you weren't saying it like that, but I don't want our fans to get confused because they do sometimes.
That's true. We're influencers, you know, and we could influence people into thinking there was a Pittsburgh, Iowa.
Here's a message for Mike, and it's from Tarsi.
Wait.
No. Tracy. Tracy. It's from Tracy.
This one is from Mike, and it is from Tarasa.
This one's from Mike, and it's from Tracy, who says, hey, hun, can't believe we made it another year. 2018 was really rough, and I'm so happy we've stuck it out. I'm so proud of you and all you've accomplished, and Hazel, and I love you to the moon and back. That's pretty freaking far. That's like 200 miles. How far is that to the moon?
Would guess much closer than me.
How far? Let's hear your guess, because I said 200 miles. Probably not 200 miles. Oh, no, I was a little bit off.
People are going to make fun of me, baby.
Well, here, I'll guess, and it'll make you feel better.
Okay.
238,900
miles. That's really far. And you know what? If I'm thinking about it, if it's 200 miles away, it would not be a big deal to get there.
It would
there.
Not take very long.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, you know, I think NASA's going to pass on us.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But you know, we've got ZipRecruiter, so
yeah,
we'll find something else.
Well, Alexis, we got big news.
Uh-oh.
Season 1, done.
It's over.
Season 2, coming at you hot.
3 years after.
Season 1. Technically, right. Almost 4 years.
All right.
And now, listen, here at Can I Pet Your Dog, the Spanish Shit Podcast, our seasons run for 3.5 years. And then in Season 2, we come at you with new, hot co-hosts named you.
Hi, I'm Alexis.
And we also have field troop.
Dog tech.
Yeah. Dog news. Celebrity guests.
Oh, big shots.
Will not let them talk about their resume.
Nope. Only the dogs.
Only the dogs. I mean, if ever you were going to get into Can I Pet Your Dog,
now's the time.
Get in here.
Every Tuesday
at MaximumFun.org.
Hey, can I tell you my second thing?
Yes.
Fig Newtons.
Whoa.
Whoa. I'm coming at you from all sides today.
I didn't know you were that big of a fan.
I wasn't. Let me get this out of the way right now. Used to not like these things. Used to not be a big fan.
Well, because if you think of it as a cookie.
If you think of it as a cookie.
You're kind of heading down the wrong track.
Well, maybe,
and
right?
And I think that's why they had their whole fruit and cake campaign.
Right. They did have that. And that was, I would say, a missed opportunity for them. Because I think if they had just said, this is the good cookie, then people would have gone for it. Or if they'd labeled it as a fig biscuit, I think then we may have been getting a little bit closer to where we need to get.
Can that be my pet name for you?
Yeah, I believe that it should be. It is a new source of joy in my life because Henry is like obsessed with them. Henry is obsessed with the like Fig Newton concept more than the brand. We mostly get him these. Oh, by the way, we have like three left. We have got to get to Costco and get some
we
more.
We do. Yes.
Because if I don't give him one of these in the car ride home from school every day, he will shank me in the neck while I'm driving.
Can you do your impression of him saying it?
Fiba.
So great.
Fiba, which is fig bar. But anyway, like all of like Henry's favorite food, I do end up eating a lot of it. Just when he turns it away or is not
because sometimes
looking.
He'll just eat one and there's two in a pouch.
There's two in a pouch. Thank you, Fig Newtons. So like if I was in a cookie mood growing up, I'd reach for a Chips Ahoy. I'd reach for an Oreo. But Fig Newtons, they occupy such a unique sort of flavor space that like these days I just cannot get enough of. Flavor is great. It's fruity and it's mellow and it's like, you know, it's got the sweet and doughy and crumbly sort of stuff going on there. It has a lot of stuff going on for it that I'm very excited about in the flavor department. But like the thing I'm gaga about is that mouthfeel. The mouthfeel of eating a Fig Newton is so, it is a toothy, it is just a toothsome cookie.
Have you ever just eaten a fig?
I've never just eaten a fig now that I'm thinking about it.
I feel like I have in a salad.
I don't, yeah, maybe.
It's such a unique flavor.
Yeah, I've eaten dates. That's probably not, I don't know what a fig is, I guess. If I'm, if put gun to my head, I don't know how far away the moon is or what a fig is even. They're not like, they feel filling, right? I feel like they feel more filling than a regular cookie. Like if I got filled up on Oreos, then I would have an upset tummy. But you eat two Fig Newtons and I feel like, it's a cookie that's a meal. Also,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And they come in like a cool like holster. It's not a traditional package. They come in like a rifle magazine of Fig Newtons. They are like perfectly mouth shaped. Fig Newtons are just very, very good. And I eat them pretty much every day now, which is probably not ideal. So back in the olden days, in like the 19th century, a lot of health problems, before like doctors were, you know, doctors were doing their best, but they thought like pretty much all diseases were, could be attributed to like digestive issues. So they recommended a diet that contained healthy portions of fruits and biscuits, which is so dope. Doctors were like, y'all, what do you got going on? Oh man, gout? Gotta eat some cookies, man. I'm telling you, you gotta take it from me, a doctor. You gotta eat cookies. So fig rolls sort of became a thing around this time, and it was just like a homemade recipe that people would just like whip up. And in 1891, a baker living in Philadelphia whose name is Charles Roser invented a machine that could just jam fig paste up into a pastry dough. And so it started to become like a little bit more automated. There's a company in Massachusetts that's called the Kennedy Biscuit Company that bought the patent on that fruit jamming technology and started to mass produce them. And so that company is based in Massachusetts. The name Fig Newton actually comes from the nearby town of Newton, Massachusetts, nearby to where the, I forget the actual town that the company existed in, but Newton, Massachusetts. A lot of people think it has something to do with Sir Isaac Newton. It does not. It is named for this town. Another thing I didn't realize is that the Kennedy Biscuit Company would soon merge with the New York Biscuit Company. And they, these two like Mondo businesses, they would come together to form the National Biscuit Company, which is Nabisco.
Oh, I thought you were going to say NBC.
We can't release this episode. I can't wait for the next and final season of The Good Place to come from the National Biscuit Company. It's so good.
I'm sorry, Nabisco.
So anyway, today they are Nabisco's third best-selling cookie. The first one's got to be Oreo. I guess the second one has to be like Oreo.
I didn't think Fig Newtons were that popular.
I mean, it's their third best-selling cookie, right? It's not like they're, they came in third place for this one.
Well, I guess I don't know how many cookies they have, but it seems like probably a lot.
Well, they sell more than 1 billion bars a year.
Ooh.
So I'd say it's fairly popular. And recently they've been sort of like evolving, right? They have different flavors now. It's not necessarily just a fig. They have like an apple cinnamon one and a raspberry one. They also make a whole grain bar. The one that we buy at Costco is like a whole grain sort of crust. Yeah. And that's good too. And something I didn't realize, and it blew my mind. It rocked me to my core today. It's like a full blown Mandela effect thing.
Ooh.
They're not called Fig Newtons. They're just called Newtons.
No.
They're just called Newtons now. They changed the name in like 2012. So for about 7 years now, they've just been called Newtons and nobody realized it.
Why? It's because they want the freedom to move outside the fig?
I found a Huffington Post article.
Okay.
Jeff Hilton, co-founder of an advertising agency called Integrated Marketing Group, told the New York Times that people associate figs, like prunes, with old people, which isn't exactly a selling point. Hence Nabisco's introduction of other fruit fillings and the eventual drop of fig in the name. Figs are not hot. Figs are not sexy.
See, now I want to look on YouTube and see if there's like cool skateboarders with backwards hats, like asking each other for Newtons.
Yeah. It sounds illicit when you put it like that. I think that this is a discriminatory and shameful decision on their part, but also I don't know what a fig is or looks like. So if we're talking about brand appeal, your name of your cookie could not be Mystery Food Town in Massachusetts. It's a wild, I get it now. I kind of get it now.
Yo, what's up, bro? You got any extra newts? Is what they would say in the commercial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like chatting online later and they'd be like, hey man, send me some newts. Please send newts. Anyway, whatever you call them, Fig Newtons, newts, whatever, they own bones. These are good cookies.
They're very good cookies.
What's your second thing?
My second thing is a trip to the Poetry Corner.
All right.
A boom, cha boom, 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 cha boom, boom, boom.
All that she wants.
Was that what I was singing?
No, but I tried to think of lyrics.
Uh-huh.
And you know what freaking happened? That all I could think about was the Ace of Base song, All That She Wants Is Another Baby.
You could change it to another poem.
You're right. Let me do that again.
Okay. All right. Boom.
All that she wants isn't. Did you want to get more bass in there? Because you did like one note, and I didn't know if you wanted to do it under my.
No, I'm going to let you solo this one.
Okay. All that she wants is another baby. Dang it. I had the original song so good.
The poet I am bringing to the corner today.
Ooh, I hope it's someone I know.
You will not. It's Naomi Shihab Nye.
I don't know.
Yeah. Born in 1952. Her father is Palestinian. Her mom is American. She grew up in St. Louis.
All right.
And then moved to Jerusalem when she was 15 years old, I believe. And she eventually came back to the States and now lives in San Antonio. She moved to San Antonio to go to college. She went to Trinity University.
Okay.
And she is now a professor at Texas State.
Okay, what's her thing? What's her deal?
Well, so she has written 18 novels, short stories, and poetry books. She's worked as an editor, an anthologist, a songwriter, and she also spent 15 years traveling across Texas as a visiting writer with the Texas Commission on the Arts.
Hell yeah.
In inner city schools or rural communities. She is like many of my favorite poets in that she writes very much about the everyday.
Okay.
Her poetry is very accessible and she's totally fine with that. There's like no part of her that, you know, feels like sheepish about that. She started trying to publish her work at age 7.
Awesome.
I watched this interview with her in 2012 where she talked about how like she had a librarian at her local library that kind of helped walk her through the process of sending out work to be published and like told her all about like the self-addressed stamp envelope. And so her mom had no idea and started getting these letters in the mail with her handwriting written to herself. She like thought her child was insane.
Oh my God.
But apparently she started publishing when she was a kid. Like she's just has always been very dedicated to poetry. And she, you know, she writes a lot about her experience, you know, being Palestinian and being in Jerusalem, as a young person. But, she also writes about stuff that, you know, anybody could experience. And so I wanted to read, a little bit from her poem that's called Famous.
Let her rip.
The river is famous to the fish. The loud voice is famous to silence, which knew it would inherit the earth before anybody said so. The cat sleeping on the fence is famous to the birds, watching him from the birdhouse. The tear is famous, briefly, to the cheek. The idea you carry close to your bosom is famous to your bosom. The boot is famous to the earth, more famous than the dress shoe, which is famous only to floors. The bent photograph is famous to the one who carries it, and not at all famous to the one who is pictured. I want to be famous to shuffling men who smile while crossing streets. Sticky children in grocery lines, famous as the one who smiled back. I want to be famous in the way a pulley is famous, or a buttonhole, not because it did anything spectacular, but because it never forgot what it could do.
That's really good.
Isn't that nice? It's like she's written a lot of stuff for young adults and received a lot of recognition for it. And I feel like there's something very global about her poetry, but like so minute too. And she said she wrote that so when she was going into schools and she'd like be a visiting artist, the kids would be like, Miss, are you famous? and she realized they would pay more attention to her if she said yes.
Yes, I am extremely famous.
And so she just used this poem as a way of saying that, you know, whatever your eye falls on is famous to you, and to kind of get you to pay more attention in your real world. And I've pulled that from a 2012 interview she did. But she's just a big advocate for poetry being accessible. She said that everybody's kind of born with that poetic spirit, and it's only as you get older that a lot of people lose it. She quoted some famous poet, and now I don't remember who it was because I had never heard of him. But people always ask the question of like, when did you start writing poetry? And she said, you know, to paraphrase this man, he responded, when did you stop? You know, because that in some ways, that's the more appropriate question of everybody kind of grows up with this curiosity and this playfulness with language and this way of looking at the world that's very creative. And then at some point, they just kind of pull back from it. And she makes the point that like poets just stay tapped into that.
So
I wanted to share her. She's really well published, but not especially well known.
Yeah, I mean, you would think law of large numbers, as many books as she's put out. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. I always feel weird thanking you at the end of it's the only bit that I thank you for. You know what I mean? Like,
you didn't thank me for Bucky's, although your spirit did thank me.
I have a grateful spirit for, I guess, Bucky's existing. Hey, can I tell you what our friends at home are excited about?
Yes.
Jim says, my small wonder is the sound of high heels on a hard floor. I usually wear sneakers to work, but whenever I do wear heels, that click-clack sound never fails to make me feel like a boss. I have a pair of dress shoes I never wear because why do I need them that I did wear out to the theater? And that sound.
That should have been our small wonder this week. I guess it was kind of too big to be a small wonder.
Yeah, it was a pretty big wonder.
we got to go see Hamilton.
We got to see Hamilton, yeah. Lynn took us out to dinner and took us to the show. It was real nice. Thank you, Lynn. It was very sweet. He told us he falls asleep to the show, which I think now we have subliminal control over his mind.
Hey, why don't you go write a play about Alf? Why don't you do the Alf play?
It's time for you to write the Alf play, Lynn. When you wake up, you're going to put pen to paper on the Alf play.
Here's one from Channing. He says, I love when there's a big gentle dip in the road so that when you're driving at a normal speed over it, you get a tiny roller coaster ride in your car. Yes.
Oh,
Route 10, I believe it was, in Huntington going out into Ohio. Justin and Sydney used to have a house out there. Mm-hmm. It was like there's a starter home in the area, and that road was so wild. It was really dangerous. It was a very dangerous route, but it was hilly and curvy, and just like every time you drove down it, it felt like you were, I don't know, like in a video game set in San Francisco, just like going over the hills and soaring for 10 seconds. And one more, this is more of an update than a submission. And the update says, it was Dave and Buster's. Only three people saw though, so we're good. Sincerely, old Nip Slip Kelly.
Oh, so thank you, Kelly.
Dope. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you for that update.
You're my hero. And thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. We have a bunch of stuff at macroy.family, other shows, other videos, tickets to shows. We just announced a new Taz show in San Diego during Comic-Con and one in D.C., I believe. Yes. Before our like Northeast tour. So yeah, come out and see us. Rachel and I are also going to be guests on Jordan Jesse Go, here in Austin on the 29th of June?
Yeah, I believe so. Yes.
It's somewhere around there. You can also find details for that, on our website and at MaximumFun.org, which has great shows like
Can I Pet Your Dog?
Yeah. And Stop Podcasting Yourself.
And Greatest Generation.
And Story Break.
Bubble.
And so many more, all at MaximumFun.org. And what else? Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
We are the host of My Brother and Me, and now, nearly 10 years into our podcast, the secret can be revealed. All the clues are in place, and the world's greatest treasure hunt can now begin.
Embedded in each episode of My Brother and Me is a micro clue that will lead you to 14 precious gemstones all around this big, beautiful blue world of ours.
So start combing through the episodes. Let's say starting at episode 101 on.
Yeah, the early episodes are pretty problematic, so there's no clues in those episodes.
No, not at all.
The better ones, the good ones, clues ahoy.
Listen to every episode repeatedly in sequence. Laugh if you must, but mainly get all the great clues. My Brother and Me, it's an advice show, kind of, but a treasure hunt mainly. Anywhere you find podcasts or treasure maps, My Brother and Me, the hunt is on.